This is Bill Venners with our team of developer. The following interview was recorded at Java 1 2007. Okay, I'm sitting in the Java 1 pavilion with Andreas Strasdauskas. He's the R&D manager with No Magic, and also Gary Duncanson, he's the president and CEO, and Daniel Brookshar, who is the chief architect. So I wanted to ask you about model-driven architecture, and it's the code that runs, and the model kind of models what the code does. Why do I need to model?
I think the key thing about MDA, or model-driven architecture, is the model is what represents the code, and the code is produced, it's generated. So I model all of my entities. I say what's going to be the business objects in my system, and the model is annotated, and then code's produced from that model. So I don't really have a disconnect between code and model, because the model always generates the code. And in the case of things like Spring and Hibernate, you know, I can go from a model to Spring Hibernate now to the web tier with struts, and I've done all that with just model. There's maybe a few places where I put in a little bit of code, but it's minor. It's kind of glue code. Very little has to be done in that tier. And most of the code's in the model. I press a button, produce it every time. So I'm only editing the model. I don't edit code.
The model becomes the code.
Yep.
That makes total sense to me, because I do something that sounds similar to what you do, except that I just create a little DSL where I define entities and generate code, and so that DSL becomes the code for those things. So one of the problems I had is, like you said, put a little glue code in here and there. Yeah. There are some things that I don't put in my DSL that I actually write in Java.
Right.
And so I have to do things like, there's one place where I had to make something called generated something, and then I subclass it where I add the code. So if in your tool, mm-hmm. I define the model with your tool and it generates code, then how do I add Java to that, or how do I customize it?
Well, I mean, there's always places where you want to inject code, because the main thrust in MDA right now is to do 90% of the stuff that you need to do. We want to do the boring stuff. The stuff that takes you hours and weeks to set up, you know, to set up all the persistence layers, to initialize or get to the beginning of your web tier. Once you've got that, you have places that are specifically marked out to say, well, I'm going to handle a specific situation after a button's pressed. But even then, I'm going to have code generated to say, well, here are all the objects in order for you to persist that into the database. I guess the key thing about MDA is we're not trying to replace the developer. What we're trying to do is make the developer's job a lot easier by taking out all this busy work, because of, you know, I mean, how long does it take you to configure and set up the Hibernate, the Spring, and connect it all up together? MDA is doing all that for you, because it understands, you know, all those simple things and gets rid of that busy work.
Okay, that makes sense. The other thing that I like about what we're doing is that it's consistent. So it's not just busy work. You know how in automobile assembly lines, they had people doing things, and they replaced them with robots who were more precise. They wouldn't make as mistakes.
Actually, it's all about increasing quality and making it a better product, and letting your developers and your architects think about what they're doing more, instead of spending time at the tedious task, and being able to, you know, pull in multiple people. And like with our modeling tool, you can actually have everybody who have different roles, from the business analyst to the database engineer to the architect to the engineer to the systems engineer, system modeling with SysML and for the government DoDAF, all in one tool, and being able to have that they're all can communicate in the same kind of format. And also, you know, being able to exchange data is very important, and being able to look at the other participants' roles, but in your view of what their role is, and being able to really get your teams to sync together. It can make them more productive, and things like what we have, like visual differencing, so you can see what's been different in your older version or your baseline version of what you have now. Your design reviews run faster. You generate documentation, so that tedious task is removed from the programmer, and you lower your cost, because you can keep those things in sync. If you have round trip, and you can keep them in sync, and then if you have existing things, you can reverse engineer and incorporate them in your model.
So the question I had before about how do you put Java code in, how do you actually fit it in? Like, when you generate some Java code,
right.
Well,
we have two different ways of generating Java code. Number one is we have a full round trip engine.
Okay.
that does Java. It also will read in bytecode. But once you've, you know, we're preferring to go the other way is, you know, say we take a legacy system and we bring in all the business objects. We can then annotate that and then push it back out under MDA rules so that, you know, then you're living under just the model. Right, so we can transform from the old style of development where we had all this room for error to create this more consistent coding model. And I think, you know, another thing is efficiency. As you decide how things work better, you can change the templates, the MDA templates and the cartridges to be optimized, to generate that optimized code, which is even harder to do, but over time it's very easy. And if you're able to repeat that task, you get much more consistent, better quality code. I don't have to test this deeply, that code, because it's all going to be generated the first time.
Yeah, that actually sounds like what we did too, because we wrote it by hand first. Yeah. So that's like the legacy code. Then what we did is we made it look like we wanted it to look, and then we automated it so that it was generated code, and then we just replaced it. And now we just live, I guess you'd call it the model.
Right.
I mean, that is our code now.
Right.
So one of the things I wanted to do was compare this to Ruby on Rails. So one of the things that I blogged about one time was that the metaprogramming is the lesson, the key lesson of Rails. What
right.
those guys had in their marketing was it's convention over configuration. But what they're doing is a lot of metaprogramming software that writes software. Some people said, well, they're taking advantage of Ruby, you know, things that Ruby can do that Java can't. By that, they mean you can add a method to a class. That's how you do metaprogramming in Ruby, in a dynamic language like Ruby. In Java, the way you do it is you generate static, like generate code generation, and compile it. And the nice thing about that is there's no magic.
Yeah, there is no magic.
The story of no magic is real simple. Is there's no magic to developing good software. You get a good team, you train them well, you get a good process, you follow process, you run into any hiccups. You don't abandon process, you keep following process. That's the most critical time when you need to do that. And there's no magic to this stuff if you get a good process, good people, and have good tools. You can
do
software on time and on budget.
Okay, that sounds good to me. But I actually had said the word no magic in the context of Rails, where at runtime, all this magic happens inside Rails, and I can't see it. So if something goes wrong, I really don't know. It's harder to see. Whereas in the case of Java static code generation, I can go look at the code that was generated.
Yeah. With Java, you definitely get the better static typing, the understanding that you've got something that's gone wrong. And we're also going out to packages that are going to be easier to understand. I mean, we're building Spring and Hibernate code. You know, a guy that knows Spring and Hibernate can go in there and look at that. There's no mystery. There's no magical code someplace or something hard to understand. It's going to be clear, easy to read code.
Because I generate Hibernate code.
Yeah.
That's what I do right now. So the other thing that I think about it as is raising the level of abstraction. So there's sort of the progression of languages from machine code to assembly to procedural to OO, etc., was an attempt to sort of raise a level of abstraction. And these little DSLs that we have raise it to the abstraction of our app, like an entity.
Is right.
That's what we define as an entity.
Yeah, you're describing it as that thing. And I take a class, I describe it as an entity. I can take a class, describe it as the user interface. I can map it into a whole lot of different concepts, but it's still that same class. It contains all the business data that it needs. All I'm doing is saying, well, how are you going to use it? And even another part of the abstraction is, well, I can generate Spring and Hibernate, or I can generate pure EJB3, or 4 or 5, whenever it comes out, or I can go out to Rails if I need to. I can go out to Groovy. It really doesn't matter, because the model has the concept and the idea. I just have to map it into the code using the templates and a little bit of glue logic to understand that.
It really allows the reuse to actually be true reuse instead of the reuse lie that people have been saying for years, you know. Oh yeah, we have reuse, but this really forces you to have reuse and be able to really reuse components and get newer systems together faster.
Yeah.
Because I can redo the code generation part and then reuse the...
That's right, and reuse the model, reuse the pieces, identify things in the model that are breakable out to their own individual modules and be able to reuse those modules from other models.
Yeah, and Andromeda. Andromeda, ANRDOMDA.org, which is the main company that we're integrating with for MDA, they have what are called cartridges. And you just pull out one cartridge, stick in the other cartridge. They both know about the metadata. They both know about the regular UML, choose one cartridge or the other, and off you go.
Yeah, so, it's finally to the point where it's actually real in the industry that you can really use MDA effectively now, and it's the market's matured enough to where we have good MDA tools out there.
Yeah, well, and especially since MDA now is they're trying to do that part that's the hard part. They aren't trying to be artificial intelligence.
Ah,
right. Yeah, this is not, there's not press a button and the world is generated. Press a button and most of the busy work is done. And you can get to the real business. There's some things that you can do right out of the box, but, you know, we're not trying to land a man on the moon with MDA. And that's probably the most important thing to say about it. It raises the efficiency. It doesn't do away the programmer.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.